Cat Bowser, welcome.
Thank you. It's so good to see you again, my friend.
Now, we know you've been busy since you moved away early in 2020, and you have the enchanting novel that you have written with Americana musician and creative Ricky Timms to prove it. So here's to Lizzie Albright and The Attic Window. Yes, congratulations, Kat. So let's start there. One sentence synopsis.
Fantasy story about a little girl discovers her granny's quilt, learns the block names. The blocks come alive when she falls asleep under the quilt and takes her on fantastic journeys.
Yeah, very, very well put. You have woven a classic fairy tale, kind of set in modern times. It meets fantasy. It meets timeless action adventure odyssey. It's got Scottish overtones and a whole peaceable kingdom of animals to advance the plot. I mean, it's kind of got it all going. Is that a safe thing to say?
Very safe, indeed.
And it all begins on Christmas Eve, no less. Did you and Ricky even dream your story could take on these wild and crazy turns when you started conceiving of it?
No, we really didn't. We thought it was going to be a much simpler process and a simpler book in the end, but we ended up getting involved in it and it just kept having legs of its own. You hear that from writers, but it's really true. The characters just start coming alive. Things start popping into your head and you just want to keep going with it and running with it to see where it can go. And it turned into this, you know, Harry Potter-esque size novel that we thought was going to start out as a picture book. But we had so much fun, we couldn't stop.
And what a wonderful journey for the reader. We do kind of get an idea of how it might have been for you two co-authors, to be sure. What skill sets would you say each of you brought to the telling of such a tale?
That's a really great question, Julia. Mine would have been more muse than anything. Ricky really is a true creative. He's a musician. He's a world-renowned quilter. There's so many talents that he has. And so for me, it was more idea guy. And I would try to come up with ways to advance the plot or the outline of where I thought things should go. And then he would run with it and fill in all the creative spaces, and beautifully so.
Well, that's fantastic. And did you have a clue that you could work so well together?
Well, we had worked on music projects. That's how we met back in the 80s. A long time ago, we had music endeavors when we both lived in Texas. And we had remained great friends ever since then, but had long gone our separate ways. He moved out to Colorado, I moved to Florida, and then Fort Wayne. But we had remained friends. And this was an idea that I had back in 2008. I was working with him, trying to advance his brand as a quilter. And I came up with the idea because he started teaching me the quilt block names. We just kind of fleshed out the idea from there. And again, his creative genius helped bring everything alive.
What perfect fits. And of course, if you've worked together before, you know where to look within each other's strengths.
Yeah, we kind of knew each other's strengths. And we still enjoy working on music projects together. We've recorded a few things. They're on the Lizzie website if anybody wants to go check it out. He still does concerts when he's able to tour and do his quilt seminars and things like that. He also gives concerts. We still like doing our music collaborations as well. Yeah.
It's really something special, and Ricky's own way of storytelling, embracing the quilting in particular of all the textile arts, and what a fantastic addition to your methods. Also, it really helps weave your story together quite literally, and you know, being the whole textile, the tapestry, which one can visualize. What did its inclusion mean to you, you know, when you did start running with it all, and that medium was in there, and that story within a story, also a way to tell a story? That is not usually how you write a song or do something. How did it just fit the cat world?
Oh, yeah, crazy. Not so much. I had a lot of learning to do because I'm not a quilter. And so we knew that we wanted a story about a quilt, but we didn't want the whole book to be on this quilt. So I had a lot of things to learn about quilting, and that is an art form that I have great, great respect for on many levels now. If you ever get an opportunity to attend a convention or go to the Paducah Hall of Fame Museum, the artwork is unbelievable. It's fascinating what people can do with textiles. But yes, it was a really great medium to weave our story. Actually, I was attending a convention with Ricky, and he was teaching me. We found an old turn-of-the-century quilt, and he was teaching me the block names. It was Bear Paw and Scotty Dog and Sunbonnet Sue and Log Cabin and Mariner's Compass. And I looked at him. I said, these sound like Mother Goose characters or, you know, some kind of children's characters. The whole inspiration came for this book. And we were like, oh my gosh, what if we had a quilt of all these different blocks? And then when the little girl falls asleep underneath these blocks, they come alive, you know, and we just loved the idea from the start. But it took us 12 years to actually write it and finish it.
Started as a dream and ended as a dream. And yes, it sounds like it was
That's right.
quite a ride in between the whole thing. And especially from the conception, maybe started a long time ago, but once you did start working with a lot of things and now you're sitting there with that stack of books beside you, the whole COVID experience and Coronageddon itself really drove how you put this together. What did it do to hurt and help your timeline?
It actually helped us push it forward. Both of our careers tanked in March when everything shut down.
The music in particular.
Yeah, and Ricky's World as well. The quilting industry shut down all of its conventions, all of his seminars, all of his teaching seminars, and his concerts. So we had the book kind of almost done, and then COVID hit, and we were like, well, this can accelerate this. And so we literally spent the month of March and April just buttoning everything up, and Ricky worked his fingers to the bone writing this thing out, and we would call every day and say, how do we want the story to advance? And then he would come up with some really great creative ways. So for us, and this time, I think for a lot of artists, has been an oddly creative time. Whether we can make money off of our art right now, probably not, but I don't think that stops the creative. It doesn't stop the artist. The artist continues to create and hope that it makes a connectedness and we just keep doing it anyway. So we obviously hope we can gather again soon and share our arts and talents in a way that makes us feel like a community again, but we'll just keep doing what we do, you know.
And good for you. That's a dream come true for a lot of people, and you actually got to live that part of the dream. That is phenomenal. Well, let's talk about the lessons learned in this read, in the book itself. You've got a world of morality issues and good versus evil. You've got plenty of karma. It's all blended with family values, holiday memories, Scottish lore, and then, of course, all that wonderful quilt speak. Is this simply a more is better kind of learning strategy? And to you, what is the most important thing that you hope readers of all ages will learn from it?
I kind of want the takeaway to be perception is everything, and things aren't always as they appear. We find that a lot, of course, in children's stories. The fantastical is supposed to be reality, you know. But I do think perception is a major part of one's happiness. If you are of sound mind and you have the ability to be able to be cognizant and make decisions about your life, you have choices on how you're going to perceive things. And you can choose, you know, it's the glass half full kind of thing. And it's difficult to make those decisions, very hard to always be in that focus and in the now. But that's kind of the innocence that I like about this book, is going with things aren't always as they seem and bending that reality in your mind to where it's to your advantage and to your happiness.
Thank you for that. It's also quite nicely framed within the story, within the story, within the story. And it is all steeped in the 1960s pop culture setting. Now, why is that and how fun is that?
Well, there was a lot of reasons why we went with that. 64 was the year I was born, and so I obviously have an affinity for that year, but I just felt it was an excellent era that doesn't really get a lot of writing. We get some early 20th century stuff. We get futuristic stuff a lot in children's books, but I don't know, the mid-century just seems to kind of get lost. And I think there's so many great cultural references that we knew our reader would immediately relate to. So we placed it in 1964 just so that we could have those wonderful cultural iconic references of, you know, the Beatles and beehive hairdo and station wagons with rear-facing seats and just all those things that most of us grew up with during that time and the fashion of the day. And we purposely wanted to touch into our older reader for that reason, and then touch into our younger reader, which is the ones that we will hope will take a liking to the story and want to make their own quilt and maybe possibly get involved into an art form that they wouldn't have considered as a beautiful expression of art. And so that's the fantastical side of the book.
And now that this story is told and out there in all its glory, complete with quilting projects to actually do, you can get the whole package if you would wish. What's next for you and Ricky Timms and Ms. Lizzie Albright herself?
Great question. So Ricky has his own world going on without Lizzie Albright, of course. He's, like I said, a world-renowned quilter, a fantastic composer, arranger. So he is a true creative. He will constantly still be doing all of that. He's also a wonderful photographer and teaches that online as well. So he will have his courses online available, and he will continue to create in that world. We have purposefully set up this Lizzie Albright book as a series. So it is our intent to start book two. And because we still have time on our hands due to COVID, we may get through this one quicker than the first one. We will attempt book two and see how we do.
Well, your whole constituency will be looking forward to following what all three of you are up to, Kat, and they are not going to be disappointed. Meanwhile, what do you hope everyone will take away from this introduction to Miss Lizzie Albright? Directly from your and Ricky's hearts to their own right now, just to help us get through this coldest, darkest time of year?
I would say all things are possible. I think the human spirit and mind has a wonderful ability to go through these trying times, turn it around into beautiful things in our art community especially, but within our own families and things, comforting one another, sharing with one another. These little simple things all of a sudden kind of have a new refreshing look and appeal to them because of something tragic. Unfortunately, sometimes that's what it takes before we refocus like that. And I think Lizzie's spirit kind of embodies that not everything is as it seems and all things are possible.
Former Fort Wayne resident and musician Kat Bowser is co-author of Lizzie Albright and the Attic Window with Ricky Timms. Kat, thank you for sharing. Well done, and in the vernacular of your wonderful story, it is bang.
Thank you, Miss Julia. It was my pleasure to be here. Bang.